It's all the files of the whole park. It tells you everything.
Sir, he's uploading the virus.
Eagle One, the package is being delivered.
So, I don't have much to say, but what is going on? Why is it going on? And is this actually real? Disinformation and the election was always going to be a thing, and well, it was. For this Cyber, Motherboard EIC, Jason Kepler and I exclusively discuss the state of play and why we're here. Iranian hackers and mass conspiracies on Twitter. 2020, everyone. I'm Ben Maku, and this is Cyber. Jason, you have a pool right now?
Yes, I'm staying at an Airbnb with a pool, which I have to say has made the last week and a half of extreme anxiety slightly better. The sun has been nice.
I can imagine. So let's just update listeners on what occurred. I was up till 6 a.m. watching results, and then I went to sleep, and I woke up at 2 o'clock, and I felt like the guy in the Washington Irving novel or story.
Yeah, you missed our record time.
I missed the record time?
I filed a missing persons report about you. Or yep. I was about to. So just to start this off, we're recording this at 3:30 p.m. Eastern time on Wednesday.
3:27 p.m. Eastern time to be claro. And yeah, we don't know what's going to happen.
Right. We don't know who's going to win. Right now, it seems as though the states that are still being counted are Arizona, Nevada, Wisconsin, Michigan, Pennsylvania, Georgia, and I think still North Carolina. It seems as though with like the late vote and all this, not the late vote, the absentee ballots and mail-in ballots, which are being counted after the in-person voting, it seems as though Biden will likely win, I think, although we don't know for sure. But
we don't know. I mean, it's very possible that he doesn't win, that this kind of falls apart. But I think the bigger thing that we...
Right. I mean, I'm just saying this just for context.
Just for context, yeah.
When we are recording this and what the state of the race is at the moment. That's what's happening.
Which is a nightmare, by the way.
It's a huge nightmare.
But I think the bigger thing, I mean, it's been something that's kind of colored this election. A lot of people said it was going to, and I was even skeptical whether or not it would. But the misinfo and disinfo that's happening it was a feature. And I'm wondering right now, Jason, what we're seeing both. I mean, let's go over what happened, but let's go over what's happening right now.
Yeah. It's hard to know where to start because I think we talked a little bit about like Hunter Biden's laptop, which was sort of the like disinformation stuff in the lead up to the election. Like that was the Trump campaign's like big attempt at undermining Biden, sort of 2016 Russia Hillary email style. That didn't really like take off in any real way. But then we also saw tons of disinformation and misinformation around coronavirus and the sort of level of dangerousness as well as anti-mask sentiment and stuff like this. And so, I mean, I'm kind of like rambling and talking around it, but basically like the misinformation this time is like the entire country information ecosystem, whereas like in 2016 it was easy to point at Russian disinformation and like fake news more broadly, whereas this time it's like the entire Republican Party as well as the right-wing media that has been saying for months that a like coronavirus is not a big deal, and the Trump campaign, the Trump administration has been, you know, handling it as best as anyone possibly could, which as we know from other countries is like not true. And then you also have like the Black Lives Matter protests as well as like Antifa type narrative that has come from the right, that is like cities are anarchist zones and are very dangerous. And then you also have like this mail-in ballot narrative where it's like the election is going to be stolen and Democrats are going to like do a bunch of illegal voting and vote twice and vote five times and all this sort of thing. So, I mean, there's different like classes of misinformation and disinformation, I guess, in the lead up to the election, which makes it all confusing to parse like what got through and what did not. But I think like what we're seeing right now is this, this like mail-in ballot narrative has kind of gone exactly how everyone said it would, where Trump had a lead on election night because Republicans have tended to vote more on election day in person. And then, you know, because so much of the Democrat strategy was like doing mail-in ballots because of coronavirus and locking in votes early, because in a lot of states, those votes aren't counted till after, you're now hearing this narrative that Democrats are attempting to steal this election somehow. You're hearing it from the Trump campaign. You're hearing it from Trump himself. You're hearing it from right-wing media and just like random influencer type people. And so that's kind of like the state of play, I think, at this
right
moment,
now,
as
yeah.
I understand. Yeah.
Yeah. I, you know, I, from as an outsider, I have not been covering this, but I've seen, to me, I feel like the mask, the anti-mask stuff has been really, that's clearly been effective and people have actually like latched onto that. And then now I think, I mean, even before the mail-in ballot debate, whether or not it's even can be trusted has clearly taken hold. Those two things were very effective. Like those two, whoever was really spreading that, I think it both came from the presidency itself and people online. Those two things really have now, I mean, they're the two biggest things facing us, right? I mean, whether or not people still believe in this virus, I mean, it's clearly real, and whether or not right now in the, you know, in the next 24 hours, ballots can be counted and can be trusted.
Right. And I think, I mean, we don't know what's going to happen, as we said, like 10 different times, but the, like in the lead up to the election, there was a lot of sort of, I mean, I'm going to call them mainstream media. It was like also us saying that, you know, we probably won't know who won on election night unless it's a landslide, which this is clearly not like a landslide. It is close, but we knew, or at least because we knew because of coronavirus that so many people would be voting absentee or voting by mail or voting early and having their votes counted later, that we wouldn't know on election night. And yet all I saw last night on election night was people saying like Biden is underperforming, the Democrats have fucked this up, like you know, just there's like a lot of different narratives playing out right now, and the general narrative is like, well, because Biden didn't win on a landslide, he therefore doesn't have a mandate even if he does win. And so that is potentially coloring like what Democrats might be able to do, even if it turns out, and I'm not saying this is going to happen, but even if it turns out that like Biden wins the popular vote by 10 million votes, which seems very possible when you consider like the margins in California and some of these other states. And I know that, you know, we vote by electoral college, but it is very possible that like Trump could lose, and he could lose by quite a lot once all the votes are counted. And yet you have this narrative that it's like, well, if Biden wins, he's just like eking it out. And therefore, you know, we're going to have people marching in the streets and civil unrest and all this sort of thing. And I think it's like,
it's funny how that's,
I don't know what's going to happen, but because that's the narrative, it's like, yeah, you have Republican politicians, you have Trump saying that this is being stolen. And like, it could very well be that like Trump more or less got his ass kicked in terms of like overall numbers, I guess. And so I don't know. I don't know what's going to happen, but I think that this narrative that like Trump declared victory last night, like when he clearly wasn't winning, is quite scary and also could have like lasting harm regardless of how this ultimately shakes out.
This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive and June. Olive and June gives you everything that you need for a salon quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive & June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive & June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
So I think one question I wanted to know is the answer to is what did the foreign influence actually look like in 2020 versus, I mean, 2016, we know exactly what it was. 2020, what was it?
Yeah. So we kept like waiting for this to happen, you know? I think that, people were on very high alert this time, and I think that it's possible that a few months down the line, we'll find out that there were some disinformation campaigns that made it through around the edges, but like nothing major has been detected as far as I know. I think that the biggest one was these Proud Boys emails that voters in Florida and Arizona and Alaska got within, you know, like a week before the election that were very threatening and said, hey,
don't vote. If like, you do, we'll vote. Beat you up.
If you do, we'll fuck you up. Yeah. And yeah. Reported to come from the Proud Boys. And this turned out to be an Iranian like disinformation campaign and quite a sloppy one at that. And it's like, I don't know. Did that have any effect around the edges? Like, kind of doubt it, honestly, because the types of disinformation that, like a lot of the disinformation seemed, aimed at decreasing turnout, and from everything we've seen, this is like a massive turnout election, so I don't think that it had much of an effect. But like I said, that's not to say disinformation didn't have any effect in this election, because there is so much disinformation around everything now, and
yeah, exactly.
It's coming from the White House, it's coming from the administration, it's coming from Fox News and Gateway Pundit and like all these right-wing media outlets, and it's also coming from influencers on, you know, TikTok and Facebook and so on and so forth. So I think that the disinformation is really coming from us this time, and that was definitely the case in 2016 as well, in terms of like, you know, right-wing groups like spreading really oversold news stories about Hillary's emails and stuff like that. But I think this time it's like you have a divided populace, more or less. You have many Republicans who simply don't believe coronavirus is real or that big of a deal. You have people believing that like vaccines don't work, things like this. And then you also have people who think that our cities are lawless areas that are being taken over by like Antifa and things of this nature. And like, that's not really the case. And so you have people living in their own reality bubbles, which I think is very concerning.
I think it's so concerning. I think that's what I found. I mean, I did cover disinformation in 2016, and this year, I mean, watching it from, you know, from a place of not actually covering it, I just thought to myself, wow, this is everybody not listening to anybody and, yeah. and only themselves. And it's just like, I listened to a few different podcasts that kind of captured this, where it's two different worlds. When mm-hmm. you look at like what the Trump reality is versus the Biden reality, and it could all be in the same small town, you know? And I think right. that's a really troubling thing for America going forward.
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing, and we're going to see this play out over the next few months and next 4 years, kind of regardless of what happens. But it's like, how can we move forward as a nation if we are living in two completely separate realities? I think that is a very difficult thing to do. And I think it's largely one that we've been going through for the last 4 years. Like, this is not new. Like, our information bubbles and echo chambers and whatever you want to call it are not new, but I think that it is really difficult when you are trying to defeat something like Trumpism, where the lie is like part of the whole game. And so, I guess that there were people out there who thought and were hoping for, and I think that, you know, this is a reasonable thing to hope for, that like the historically unpopular racist president who lies and oversaw a pandemic that has already killed 250,000 of people would be like roundly repudiated at the polls and would be just like get his ass kicked. And like, that is not what happened. That's not what happened as far as the Electoral College is concerned. And like, you still have, you know, tens of millions of Americans who voted for him. Probably over 100 million people will have voted for him by the time this is all said and done.
And that sort of is the thing I find so fascinating about the disinformation beat, so to speak, that we've, you know, ourselves and other outlets have covered, is that it really has worked in some way or another. When you boil it down to what you just said, that we have a president who's presided over, you know, 250,000 people's deaths, and the debate is still on whether or not you should actually trust in masks and whether or not this is actually completely a real pandemic, is... You know, that kind of tells you everything you need to know about what's happening right now.
Right. And I think ultimately it's like, I don't need to get like too into this, but I think that, you know, Democrats ultimately like ran a candidate who is like generic, like centrist, center left, old man, sort of like the least offensive candidate they possibly could have, with the goal of like taking back Minnesota and Wisconsin and Michigan, etc. But like, this feels very much like if Biden holds on, it's enough people voting against Trump and like a return to sort of status quo. And you're kind of seeing this, and I don't want to like extrapolate too much, but it feels like, you know, you saw in Florida where voters voted for a $15 minimum wage, which is a progressive ideal, but like Trump kicked Biden's ass there, which suggests that it's like the Democrats and they don't necessarily seem to have a message that is like pulling people back and also like inspiring a bunch of new people to vote. It seems like they've just like won back some white people in Michigan, like around the edges, and Wisconsin. And it's like, I don't know that a Biden presidency is going to be able to like appeal to the people that Trump has won in the last 4 years with a narrative of like a grievance narrative and a narrative that is one that's kind of built on lies, more or less.
I mean, I don't think you're wrong. I think the fact that those lies and the fact that that's all worked is a really, it casts a real shadow on whatever the presidency of Biden would be, if it doesn't end up being, right? Like, how do you actually, again, how do you convince people that masks are effective, right?
Right. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I don't know. I guess we'll see. I think one other thing I want to point out that we've been seeing, and like, who knows what happens between now and the time you're listening to this, but like, we're seeing disinformation go viral like extremely quickly on Twitter and Facebook, which is, I think, a result of people doom scrolling, as they say. It's like everyone's refreshing Twitter every 2 seconds. So you see something that seems like real and you retweet it, and it spreads very quickly. So you have, you know, like the Republican Party is currently trying to say that like, because some voters were given Sharpies in Arizona, that like the Democrats were doing something weird there, which is, I don't even want to try to explain it, but it's basically like, it's not true in terms of like people who voted by filling in a bubble with a Sharpie are having their votes counted. You had a conspiracy theory earlier today that more people voted in Wisconsin than there are registered voters. And I saw a tweet that got 30,000 retweets in 3 minutes.
Wow.
And so exactly. And so you
That's so crazy. That is
It was like not true. And so you have people who are just like the information is spreading so incredibly quickly that it's like, I mean, I think Twitter is actually doing a decent job
moderating this. It's funny seeing all the censorship of Trump's tweets.
Yeah,
I call it censorship because it is censorship in its classical sense, but not that I disagree with it. But it's interesting that the president of the United States is being censored on Twitter. Right. Under the terms that you cannot trust the factual nature of what he's tweeting. I mean, I saw that he'd retweeted someone who had retweeted someone, and that tweet itself has been deleted. Right? It's just like that's so powerful when he does it.
Right. Right. So like while we have gotten on this call, everyone in Trump's circle has declared that they won Pennsylvania, which is not true at this moment. It's like seems like quite unlikely that Trump is going to win Pennsylvania. I mean, I don't know what's going to happen over the next couple of days, but like everything I've read is there's still tons of mail-in ballots to be counted and many of them seem to favor Biden. And it's like Eric Trump just tweeted, quote, "We have won Pennsylvania." Kayleigh McEnany just tweeted, "Victory for President Real Donald Trump in Pennsylvania." Like, this
what
is,
the
they're
fuck?
Just like making shit up. Like, I think that, and seeing like what sticks and hoping to either win it in court or to, I don't know, cause like chaos. So I'm not sure.
That is insanity.
Yeah. So, I mean, I think that's a good place to leave it because it's like, we just don't know, but like, this is like quite blatant at this point. And I think it's just like unclear what's going to happen, but it's not great.
Well, you know, on that note, Jesus. Well, we'll see what happens tomorrow. And everyone listening, you're going to be listening and knowing what happens. I really hope that whatever it is, Trump or Biden, I'll toe the line on this. I just hope that it's real and right. it's not being contested in some bizarre way. That's just that's unclear and not true.
Yeah. Cool. Well,
on that note,
hang in there and we'll still talk to you soon.
Bye.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.